beautiful. I like the simplicity.
All right, I'll read the opening statement. This time and place for hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider revisions of a National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit in the matter of the Humboldt Creamery. This item has been properly noticed. The sheet explaining procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand? Raise your right hand and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Thank you. This time we'll start Lisa's presentation.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Bernard, staff to the Regional Water Board in the northern portion of your permitting unit. And the item for you, as you mentioned this morning, is the Humboldt Creamery Dairy Processing Facility renewal of their National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit, which also serves as a land discharge permit. The updated permit includes new limitations and new monitoring based on new monitoring that was conducted during the last permit cycle. And I'll give you a brief overview of the facility this morning, the changes to the permit, as well as some of the comments received from the creamery and their representatives. At this time, I need to enter the file into the hearing record. Okay, so the creamery is classified as a minor discharger, and it's located in the community of Fernbridge. So Fernbridge is right here. And you'll note that Fernbridge is actually centered between some of the facilities that we've been talking about recently. We adopted the new MPDS permit for the city of, or the revised MPDS permit for the city of Fortuna, the city of Ferndale, and the city of Lolita recently, if you'll recall. So the facility is located just off of Highway 101. Highway 101 is here, and there's a frontage road, and Fernbridge is right here. And the facility is located right at this corner where Fernbridge comes across the Ill River. And so they're located adjacent to the Ill River. Click. No, other one. New buttons. Okay, so this aerial photo shows you a picture of the facility. The main operations occur inside the building, although they do have some loading and unloading that occurs outdoors under this cover. Here is the frontage road that I mentioned before, heading in the northern direction, and this is the road that leads across Fernbridge. This is the Eel River. This right here is the aeration pond. The majority of the wastewater that's comes from the creamery goes into this pond, and they have aerators that are continuously churning this to keep it aerated and keep odors down. Then there's a small settling pond, and the waste is sprayed in this irrigation field, which I'll show you a bigger picture in the next slide. Also, they do have the permit allows for direct discharges of non-contact cooling water and evaporation water from their dry milk processes to discharge directly into the river at this point. There we go. How do I go back? There we go. Products produced at the facility include dry condensed milk, evaporated milk products, ice cream, frozen desserts, and fluid milk. The processed wastewater consists of tanker truck washout, acid and caustic rinse water, boiler blowdown, and waste products from the washdown processes. And the processed water, as I mentioned before, also includes dry condensed milk concentrate and non-contact cooling water. Okay, I got the simple button, but I don't seem to be able to operate it. There we go. Okay, so this picture shows the land application area that's used for disposal of creamery wastes. In combination between the northern fields here and this smaller field down here, the south field, they have approximately 150 acres on which to dispose their waste. A portion of this land and approximately this area is used for a leach field that receives
the waste.
Excuse
me, Lisa, your laser is not working.
Oh, okay.
It fades.
Okay, you're right. It just kind of goes away. I have my technical assistance here. The red one is the laser. Up and down. Okay, great. All right, so let's try that one more time. This one seems
better,
to work.
Better,
okay,
much better.
So this northern field plus this southern field in combination are approximately 150 acres that the creamery's permit allows them to discharge by irrigation the waste product that comes out of the pond that is located right here. And in this area, or approximately this area, they also have a leach field that receives the municipal waste from the facility, which the permit also covers. And so they aren't allowed to irrigate in just a portion of that area. All right. So the proposed permit includes several new requirements for the creamery, including effluent limitations for surface water and land discharge that'll be designated for the first time. So the creamery's never had effluent limitations for any of their discharges in previous permits. So this is a big step for them. Effluent limitations are consistent, however, with federally required effluent guidelines for discharges to surface water, and they've been designated for biochemical oxygen demand. Can I get that little mute thing to go off? Biological oxygen demand, total suspended solids, and pH for surface water. There's a little greenish colored dot approximately where the surface water discharge comes out. Okay. Thanks. They also have new effluent limitations for discharges to land. Oh, look at this. I've got all kinds of assistance. Discharges to land for biological oxygen demand, ammonia, nitrogen, nitrite, nitrate, dissolved solids, total dissolved solids, sodium, and aluminum. And those effluent limitations have been established based on water quality objectives for receiving water, which would be groundwater, and the constituents that would be likely to be present in their waste based on previous sampling. The permit also includes four special studies. The first special study is for a toxicity reduction evaluation work plan. This is something that we're putting into all NPDES permits in the event of toxicity being revealed through routine whole effluent toxicity tests. The dischargers would then be prepared to move forward with identifying what that toxicity is a result of. And so the work plan just kind of is there waiting for that purpose. And that's simply or solely to address surface water discharges, not for land discharges. The second special study is a land disposal evaluation to determine what the appropriate application rate and distribution would be for management of flow, management of sodium, and other things for their land application discharge. Also, a facility capacity evaluation. At this time, it's unclear to us exactly how much water the treatment pond can take and distribute, how much water, or you know, what the level of treatment capacity is in that pond that you're looking at. So we'd like them to evaluate that and let us know what the capacity of their treatment process is. And the fourth special study is in response to a request from the discharger for a compliance schedule for sodium and total dissolved solids effluent limitations. And so the special study requires them to take several steps to evaluate what their sodium and total dissolved solids concentrations are, what the source of those constituents are in their waste stream, and allows them time, 2 years, to come into compliance with those land discharge effluent limitations, which have been imposed for the first time. So the discharger was the only, I lost my place. 1, 2, 3. The creamery submitted comments, several of which resulted in changes to the proposed permit, while others did not, and no other public comments were received. A copy of the comments received, as well as our responses, are attached to your agenda package. And so we received a request from the creamery for reduced monitoring, And staff was able to accommodate some reduction in monitoring by specifying in the permit that surface water monitoring and effluent monitoring for discharges directly to the Eel River would only be required during times that the facility was discharging to the Eel River. And I believe the Creamery is hoping that that wouldn't be necessary during all portions of the discharge season. So that would result in a reduction of monitoring. Other requests for reduced monitoring could be evaluated once we have additional data. We might have to bring that back before you at a later time if the data shows that we could reduce monitoring. The request for increased effluent flows, staff is not able to allow increased flows, permitted flows, to either surface water or the land discharge because we don't have enough information to satisfy the anti-backsliding or anti-degradation requirements necessary for those increases. Request for a new or revised point of discharge. Although staff isn't fundamentally opposed to such a change, we're not able to allow the creamery to incorporate a new discharge point to the south field. Well, I guess I should back up. The discharge or the creamery requested that they be allowed to discharge the non-contact cooling water and the dry milk condensate alone to the south field. Currently, the permit allows them to discharge the combined waste from the aeration pond, which could include that waste stream, to the south field, but the reported waste discharge did not request a separate discharge point. And so in the public comment period, the creamery had requested this additional discharge point, and we haven't been able to accommodate that request at this time because we don't have, well, it wasn't requested in the reported waste discharge. We don't have the technical justification for that at this time. But what we would recommend is that after we do some of the special studies and some additional monitoring, that we could come back before the board and reopen the permit with that additional information once we have the capacity, some information from the capacity study and the treatment pond, and some information from the land discharge special study, so that we could use some of that information to justify the new discharge point. And the fourth one was the compliance schedule to achieve the new effluent limitations, which I briefly explained before. We did incorporate a compliance schedule, and we have given them 2 years to come up to compliance with the new discharge limitations for just sodium and total dissolved solids in the land discharge. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. And, Mr. Corbett?
I just wanted to clarify that legal's reviewed it and the reopener is legally sufficient to meet the reopener standards of the anti-backsliding provisions on the studies.
This is all for the land discharge. It's all for the land aspect of it. None of the surface water discharge aspect would be reopened.
I thought,
yes.
And perhaps I misunderstood the staff presentation,
yes.
But I thought there was an anti-backsliding issue. I thought there was then specific studies. Then I thought, I just wanted to make sure that we did that in the proper way, that you get the reopener so that the anti-backsliding provisions don't come and block it. And so that's the nature of my question, just that.
Right. Can I answer the question?
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There are two different things that were requested, and the anti-backsliding would apply to an increase in flow to the Eel River, which is not what we're suggesting we come back and reopen the permit
okay.
for.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. But anti-degradation does apply to both, and so the new studies would provide that additional information.
Thanks for that clarification.
Mr. Dunker?
Yes, Lisa, you had talked about the studies to be done to see whether there's justification for an additional second discharge point. At what point do you think that you will know that?
Well, I think really it would be a matter of identifying whether or not that field could handle the complete flow from that discharge point. So it probably wouldn't take the full amount of analysis that would be required in the special study, but there would be some additional information that's necessary.
Is that something, if that were to happen, and is that possible, that could happen within the two-year period that you have set aside for compliance?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Probably less.
That's what I was thinking. I just wanted to make sure.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Noren.
Lisa, can I ask you three questions just as clarification? And looking, this is a large permit, and actually you did quite a lot of work on this, and it's a lot to take in, but three minor points of clarification. In the monitoring reporting program, mm-hmm. we actually asked for whole effluent toxicity testing, both acute and chronic, on a location that's EFF001, effluent discharge point 01, which
yes.
I don't see listed in table E1 within this, and I don't see any mention of that point within this program. Can you clarify that?
Well, let me look at the monitoring reporting. That could just be a matter of, we kind of renamed everything, and so EFF001 should be a...
Hold on just 1 second. What page are we on?
Or
are
we?
Sorry, we are on E5, under whole effluent toxicity of the monitoring reporting program. And it's just a point of clarification, because actually later within this document there is mention of EFO02.
Well, actually, did I miss the whole table? Monitoring location. EFO02 is their primary discharge point, which is actually the land, or the, it should have probably said EFO01 for acute toxicity, because, so that's a typo.
Okay.
So that should be corrected.
Okay, it's actually on F27 too, to make it consistent within the document. Just to,
thank
and
you.
I don't mean to lead you on a wild goose chase here, but
that's all right.
Just to make it internally consistent on F27,
like
it takes both those sample locations as 0.002.
They should be 002.
Okay.
Yeah. Another 002 goes to the river and 001 goes to land.
Okay. Fantastic. So backwards. That would be amended, I would imagine.
Yes.
Okay, and made consistent. Also, from the standpoint of the receiving water testing and monitoring requirements on E11, we have allowed for a reduction in the monitoring with SWR001 to take out some of the nitrate, sodium, manganese.
Yes.
And I just wanted, was there a basis for that, or what was that?
Well, originally, we had thought that we were going to have receiving water monitoring upstream of the entire facility and downstream of the land discharge. And so really that was to capture the land discharge potential for maybe having runoff into receiving water. But we decided that it was sufficient for us to monitor the new monitoring wells that will be installed. And if we identify any potential for contact with receiving water in the surface water, we would then add monitoring for those constituents in the future. But the surface water discharge does not contain the nitrogen compounds, and so really it was just to have additional information about the land discharge potentially impacting the Eel River.
And the same with sodium, because we allow 60,000 parts per billion on sodium discharge to land, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And the last thing is time for compliance. Obviously, the applicant or the discharger has asked for, in essence, it looks like a year to comply with this permit.
Two
years in part. So from that standpoint, and it looks like we're allowing them that lead to get up to speed on this?
Yes. This
okay.
is, like I mentioned at the beginning, this is a very brand new permit for them.
Sure.
They've never had an effluent limitation of any kind for either the land or the surface water discharge. So they're going to have to reevaluate some of their the practices that they have and some of the cleaners that they use, and identify new ways to reduce those in their waste stream.
Thank you, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And they proposed that schedule. The consultants proposed that schedule so it fits within the time frame that they need to determine if it's going to work or not.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else this time? All right. We have some speaker cards. First, Mike Callahan.
Do you want the button?
No, I don't.
What do you think that is?
H's or an O or an N or Swami?
Good morning. My name is Mike Callahan, and I'm the operations manager for Humboldt Creamery's Fernbridge Division. Thank you for the opportunity to address the board regarding Humboldt Creamery's proposed waste discharge permit. Humboldt Creamery has been in operation since 1929, and as noted, manufactures fluid milk, ice cream, and specialty milk powders. Humboldt Creamery processes 1 million pounds of raw milk every day, about 50% of that organic, produces 4 million gallons of fluid milk, 12 million gallons of ice cream, and 20 million pounds of powdered milk. At the Fernbridge facility, Humboldt Creamery employs 150 people, operating 365 days a year. Humboldt Creamery currently operates under an existing NPDES permit for discharging evaporative condensate and non-contact cooling water. This discharge stream originates in the powdered milk drying process. During this process, water vapors are removed from milk in the evaporation step. The vapors are then cooled and condensed into a liquid. Current practice is to discharge this discharge stream of clear water directly to land during surface water discharge prohibition periods. Under the proposed new waste discharge permit, this current practice would be prohibited. Not allowing this discharge is problematic for Humboldt Creamery in several ways. It requires treatment of a discharge stream that doesn't need it. It adds clear water to our treatment system, creating a flushing effect. It adds operational flows to treatment equipment and increases maintenance requirements. And it requires additional energy to treat and dispose of a discharge stream that doesn't require treatment. At this time, I would like to introduce Lisa Strami with SHN Consulting Engineers, who can provide a more thorough review of this process and permit modifications Humboldt Creamery is requesting. Thank you.
Okay, any questions? Lisa?
Good morning. Thank you for letting me speak on behalf of Humboldt Creamery today. As Mike Callahan said, I work for SHN Consulting Engineers and Geologists, and we've been helping Humboldt Creamery with the permit negotiation. And I'd have to say it's been a pleasure working with Lisa Bernard. I've had the opportunity to work with her on a number of permits, and I find this process to be a very easy one to go through, and I really enjoy working with her. And as she said, unfortunately, it was during kind of this late our response to comments that we identified that a discharge point was not included in the permit. And I want to clarify, it's not necessarily a new discharge as much as just clarification of another opportunity for them to discharge a waste stream that they are currently discharging. So really quickly, again, Humboldt Creamery and both SHN appreciate that the board is committed to protecting water quality. And we also appreciate that to protect water quality, the board is requiring stricter permits. As Lisa noted, this new permit puts forth a number of new effluent limitations, and Humboldt Creamery is going to work its hardest to meet those new limitations. As we worked with the regional board over the last year, we have been able to get some flexibility into the permit with, for instance, a 2-year compliance schedule for sodium and TDS, and we really appreciate those opportunities to review the process and make some changes before being held to new effluent limitations. While we believe great progress has been made on the permit, though, there is one additional change that we believe needs to be made, otherwise their operations may be curtailed. So Humboldt Creamery noted that the facility currently discharges the non-contact cooling water and condensate water directly to the southern fields during the summer months. Under the proposed permit, the facility would have to commingle this clean water with processed wastewater before discharging it to land. What we would like to ask is that the direct discharge of the non-contact cooling water and the condensate be allowed under the renewed permit. And this could be achieved by making a few simple additions to the land discharge regulations in the permit. I have a couple of reasons why the board should consider including this additional land discharge point. First being that the non-contact cooling water and the condensate is already identified and characterized in the proposed permit. Direct surface water discharge of this waste stream is allowed under the proposed permit without requiring any treatment. The proposed permit allows the land discharge of the non-contact cooling water and the condensate if it is routed through the treatment ponds and then pumped for irrigation. However, treatment is not required for this waste stream. The revised permit requires a special study to determine the treatment capacity of the existing facility. Since the non-contact cooling water and the condensate is a waste stream that does not require treatment to meet the discharge requirements, the facility should have the option to redirect this waste stream from the treatment facility and utilize all other disposal options that are available. The additional disposal option could be allowed with a revision to the permit to include a groundwater discharge for the non-contact cooling water and condensate at a new discharge point labeled SN004. This new discharge point would be essentially the same irrigation fields that they are currently discharging to. It would just allow them to not have to route the water through the treatment pond prior to irrigation. The facility could be required to monitor the direct land discharges at 004 in accordance with the same monitoring requirements currently set forth for land discharges at 001. The receiving water limits for groundwater in this region have already been evaluated and applied in this permit for the discharges at SN01, so the information needed for regulating this type of land disposal is already included. This additional land discharge option would also allow the facility to significantly reduce and perhaps eliminate the direct surface water discharge of this waste stream during most of the year, not just during the summer prohibition period. So we would like to request that you guys consider postponing adoption of this new permit until consideration of this additional discharge point can be taken into account. Again, the goal here is to give Humboldt Creamery as much operational flexibility as possible as they go into this new discharge permit, again, because there are new effluent limitations that have never been applied for this facility, and they should be given every opportunity to look at their operations and their disposal options to meet the new limitations. So again, we are not asking for consideration of a new discharge point per se, as much as just another way to discharge an existing waste stream that is already identified without taking up treatment capacity in their treatment pond. So I think in really what we're asking right now is postpone adoption to allow time to include this discharge point in the permit or to approve the permit with the modifications that I made, but I have obviously not presented to the board yet. So again, it's some simple modifications, and we're hoping the board would consider this action.
Do we have any questions about the board? Mr. Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can I ask, Lisa, what kind of volume are you talking on? Kind of volume are you talking on condensate, non-contact water here?
The volume in the permit right now is 63,000 gallons per day, and that is what they're allowed to do through direct discharge to the Eel River, and so it would be the same volume as what we'd be asking for the land discharged. And that volume of water is already included in the volume that is permitted to be discharged under SN001. But again, it is just written in the permit right now to have to go through the treatment pond prior to disposal.
Mr. Corbett?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question to our staff. Whether you're adamantly opposed to this proposal, you want to consider it further, and if you want to consider it further, is there any chance if we just adjourn today, you could meet with the discharger and possibly come up with language, or would you need a longer length of time?
And just to give you a little bit more background on this particular permit, Lisa can answer the question you just posed, that one of the reasons why, in my view, you know, if we could make changes and that's legal to do today, that would be great. You know, maybe an adjournment and to come back and consider, and if there's a way to do that, I'm fine with that. The reason we're pushing for adoption and didn't want to delay it is this is one of our commitments, permit commitments for the federal fiscal year and our last chance to adopt it this year.
Yes.
So that's one reason that it's important to us. And secondly, that this permit is, in my judgment, wildly inadequate. The current permit is wildly inadequate. And any kind of, if we have to renotice, that is really, it isn't a simple matter. It is a long period of time before that gets accomplished, particularly since it isn't budgeted.
Mr. Hales?
If we're going to, if we adopt this and there's a two-year window to do additional evaluations, do we have to wait 2 years until we can come back and make amendments? I see you saying no, so I assume that. So then what would it take to front load this particular study to get the answers that we need? Could it be, you know, excuse me, something as simple as just going back and rewording language, or do we have to do field evaluations, or?
I think that we could probably do some relatively simple calculations to determine if that area of land was adequate, and maybe make a couple modifications to monitoring. You know, we're not opposed to this change as staff. It's not a bad change. It's just that it's not something, when it doesn't come in the report of waste discharge originally, it's not something that we can just change without, you know, we'd already been through public comment and everything. So we're not opposed to it at all. So I think that, you know, with very little information, we could probably go ahead and make the corrections.
What would the mechanism be, pardon me, for being able to get that in place? If this were to be adopted, if this is adopted, then we now have to reroute the system and discharge this water through the treatment facility, and it's causing constraints and operational problems for Humboldt Creamery. How soon could that be taken care of? I mean, is there a way to get that done sooner so that they wouldn't have to do this replumbing of the system and potentially slip it in before you have to go online with it? Or is that just effective, like if it's adopted, this goes into effect as of now? And
it's already, apparently, I was unaware that they were already discharging this as a separate waste stream into the south field. So the way the permit is written, and in accordance with the report of waste discharge that we received, when they combine flows to land, they are allowed to discharge to the south field or the north field, and this waste stream is already included. So effectively what they would be doing is discharging cleaner water to only the south field, and then the water that you saw in that pond and goes to only the north field during times when the flow would be split. So
I have a quick comment.
Yeah.
As I was going through the permit and trying to determine the easiest way to include this in the permit, one option I looked at is, rather than just specifying the southern fields as a separate discharge point, again, because the whole 150 acres is already identified and analyzed, you know, what's really just missing is a monitoring location for when this waste stream is not routed through the treatment pond. So we would consider adopting the same groundwater monitoring requirements and basically doing the same groundwater monitoring throughout the irrigation field, but adding an additional monitoring point for this waste stream when it is not routed through the treatment ponds. So in some ways, I see that this facility, this change in the facility operations, could just be a paper exercise in the permit without any additional studies, because basically we would be agreeing to doing the same groundwater monitoring throughout the entire field that is already required in accordance for the discharge at SN001, and just putting in this additional discharge point, just for clarification, that this would be the discharge of water that is not commingled with the treated wastewater. So I am hoping that, and have brought for the board's consideration some simple text revisions that could incorporate this other discharge into the permit at this point without any further additional studies.
Okay.
If I could make a suggestion, I think there are two things that would be, I think, useful to consider, and perhaps a short break or moving on to some other items while we consider that. One is, first, is the language something that we can adopt? And if we can't, then perhaps a commitment from staff that we'll bring this back to the board before the next irrigation season, which solves the problem for the creamery, I believe.
It does. I guess one of the things that we are looking, though, is to try to reduce surface water discharges by having the ability to, get rid of this other process waste stream in other ways. And the concern would be during the wet season, again, with the treatment pond having additional capacity taken up from rainfall, we're trying to just get the clean water waste stream out of the treatment pond and leave as much treatment capacity for the process wastewater. So although it would be applicable more during the summer discharge prohibition period, it would be actually something that would be beneficial all year round.
And all of that discussion, though, isn't in the record right now.
No.
Got it.
Mr. Corbett.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would I believe it's
the chair will advise that I have two more speaker cards, and I will complete those before we get too far into the weeds here.
Well, then I think I will wait for the additional speakers. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was in the bull rushes.
Anything we can do to save Corbett from the bull rushes. Pat Barsantine. Okay. Very good. Tim Carlstead. Okay, I had cards. No speakers, but I had cards.
No bull rushes.
Right.
I did have a question to the last speaker or to the creamery representative. In terms of this water that we're focusing on here, and it's been referred to as clear water, could you further characterize that water for us as to...
Yeah, I think it's...
And ask you to come forward and speak so it can be recorded.
To give you a better understanding of the process, during evaporation, we bring milk into a stainless steel unit, and we heat that milk. The vapors that come off of that milk, which is basically steam, are then taken, and in our process, we use that steam in a mechanical vapor recompression evaporator, recompress those vapors using fans, and that's how we heat the milk again. So we use the steam coming off of the milk, recompress it. Once it's used there, it condenses, falls to the bottom, and it's just distilled water, basically, and is pumped from there out to wherever we're going to go with the flow.
Okay. And this non-contact cooling water is one and the same, then?
It's non-contact cooling water is basically well water that's used on one side of a unit to use it for cooling. So... if you had a medium on one side that you're trying to cool, you use the well water on the other side so there's no contact with any process.
And as I understand it, you're trying to put this water on the land during the summer months?
Yes. And additionally, depending on how this permit works for us, we may want to do that during the winter as well, just because then... that allows us not to discharge into the surface water.
But for my understanding, as I understand it, one season we're saying you're allowed to do it, and the other season we're saying you have to study it some more before doing it. Are we saying it's okay to do it?
I don't think you're saying it's okay to do it at any time.
Mr. Chair, just to be clear, we don't have any water quality data available on the condensate. So part of our problem is we're not saying this is a bad idea. In fact, it probably is a really good idea. It's just we don't have sufficient information at this point in time in our hands, and we are committed to work with the creamery and get that information and turn that around before, you know, within, well, certainly before the irrigation season within the next 6 months.
You do have a... what is it, a toxic rule study that was done on that water that we did in our previous permit. So there is information out there to show what this waste stream is.
Well, and to the cat's point, I can't put my finger on it in terms, it's not a new... I mean, at some point, this permit has considered this issue. I mean, it's...
The previous permit and the new permit are, I mean, vastly different, and that's where, when we began taking it apart, looking at a previous permit that was 20 pages long and a new permit that's 120 pages long, we had to go through it step by step, and that's when it was identified that it wasn't in there as a waste stream.
But we are, I mean, I'm just looking at page one of the green pages, the overall statement here, the third paragraph says this water may be discharged directly from the facility to the Eel River. So if we have, we must have some information about this material, or we wouldn't be saying it can be discharged directly to the Eel River. That's the problem I'm having.
We'll let Ms. Bernard answer that.
We do have a limited amount of data available, like Mr. Callahan said, for the CTR constituents. But as far as, there's never been any effluent limitation for this in previous permits, despite the fact that, I mean, this is just a fact, that despite the fact that there are effluent guidelines in 40 CFR for this particular process waste, we have never established an NPDES permit limitations for biological oxygen demand, total suspended solids, or pH, which are required by those effluent guidelines. So this permit does establish those limitations. But since there have been no effluent limitations on that discharge in the past for those constituents, we have no data. I did ask the creamery to collect a sample during the renewal process for this permit, but the data came back skewed from the laboratory. So it basically resulted in no information. So we do have the CTR data, but we don't have the things that we are looking at for the land discharge. We don't have the basically probably BOD. However, we are already allowing them to discharge this water to the same location. It's just that it has to be combined with even dirtier water before they can do it. So it is a little awkward.
That's one word. But
yeah, I was wondering if I can present to the board again just a list of the proposed permit modifications so you guys may see how easy it could be to just include this.
All right. We won't do that back and forth verbally, but the chair will take a recess, and you can have that conversation with staff, and then there'll be the filter on how simple it may or not appear. I think there's probably interest, I sense, from the board to engage in that, but we're not going to do it on the fly. Mr. Corbett.
That was going to be my recommendation to the chairman, within your discretion. Excellently done.
All right. I did have a question. I'm on page, I don't know, and the white page is 14. I don't know what section 4, table 6, the work underneath that flow A, it says the flow through this discharge point shall not exceed 63,000 gallons per day. And I heard statement made that the clean water constitutes 63,000 gallons a day, and that confused me.
That is the clean water discharge. And again, the clean water is the only water that is permitted for discharge to the Eel River. And so that would be the permitted flow to the Eel River of the clean water discharge. Versus the facility design flow is for the land discharge application, and that's a much larger number.
Okay, so back on page 5 of that white pages, then facility information. I guess staff is accepting that, I mean, there's been a question raised as to we don't know the capacity, and we need to have a study of this. So the treatment facility design average is 249,000, max 450,000, and then the facility design flow is only this clean water at that Eel River discharge. Is that
The reason that those are the permitted flows at this time, even though we don't have the technical information to substantiate why those were determined, is because that was the permitted flow from the existing permit. And we, the discharger did ask for increased permitted flows, but we can't allow increased permitted flows to surface water without anti-backsliding and anti-degradation, or to land without anti-degradation information. So we have to be able to actually analyze the flow and the waste stream itself and determine whether or not there will be adverse impacts to water quality with an increased flow. And so I understand that it seems a little skewy that we don't have the information, but we're still permitting something, but
kind of a catch-22.
Yeah. So we're going with what was in the existing permit. And now the special studies will help us determine whether or not those are actually appropriate numbers.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
A couple of things. You said that the they were asked to collect the sample, but it came back from the lab skewed. Mm-hmm. Why are we skewed, or how are we skewed?
The laboratory reported matrix interference, which basically there was something that interfered with the machine's ability to read the number, so we didn't really get a valid quantitative result.
How long does this process take?
A sample?
Mm-hmm.
A week, 2 weeks.
Okay. The other one that concerns me a little bit is the description of the well water. Do we know what's in that?
No.
Okay.
But it is likely that based on its location and based on what I know about the area and the geology of the area, that they do have high manganese concentrations in their well water.
Okay, only because I've seen well water, particularly when up in the Klamath, it has better left in the earth. Thank you.
That's another item.
Mr. Chair.
Mr.
So
Norton.
Just one other point of clarification. So we're capping them, in essence, at 63,000 gallons a day out of this waste stream, and when in reality they have more like 110,000 gallons a day from this stream. So then we would allow them to do 63,000 a day, realizing that you're going to have then the remainder going to the treatment pond, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and that's the average flow that's allowed. There is a maximum. I think that's 110 or something.
I believe so.
So, you know, on a given day, they could discharge more than 63,000 as long as the month averaged 63 discharge to the eel.
But not to tangle this up, but realize then the discharger then realizes then from that standpoint, 63,000 average daily is a cap. Anything
correct.
Above that's going to have to go into that treatment pond and enter in commingled and be treated and land applied, correct?
Correct, until we can look at the anti-backsliding and anti-degradation.
Yeah.
And that, just for further clarification, is again why we're kind of asking for this additional ability to discharge flows in excess of 63,000 that could not be, let's say, discharged to surface water. Rather than having to route it through the treatment pond and take up treatment capacity, we'd like the ability to just land apply that same clean water. And unfortunately, that's just what is missing in this permit right now, is the ability to bypass the treatment pond. But because this is a new flow limitation, again, this gives them a little bit more flexibility that when they do have high flows, they have another option for how to route those flows and dispose of them.
Yeah, understood. But that's, I mean, Board Member Hales, that's what actually you were asking for, right, is that let's front load this and get that information and look at whether that's adequate, whether it's not to put that remainder into a treatment process and commingle it with actually dirtier water and go through that process. You want to directly land apply that.
Right.
But it seems to me that that's on you to demonstrate that that is actually appropriate, correct? And that the study, what I believe Jeff Hales asked for, was that those studies to be front-loaded into this period to get that information to allow that process to happen.
If I could comment on that, a couple problems that we see with doing that is, one, if we do a study with the clean water in the pond, what does that tell us when actually we don't want that clean water in there because there's no reason to treat it? So
right.
It really doesn't give us a good idea of what the treatment capacity is on that system, if you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just has a flushing effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dilution.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so right now, even under this permit, they wouldn't reasonably be allowed to investigate treatment capacity of the pond without that clean water. Except for during those times when the entire amount is discharged to surface water.
But most of the time, which would be all winter. In the past, it's been during the winter. Yeah.
Okay, I think we're clear as we can be at this point. not that we're clear, just as clear as we can be. And would ask, well, first I want to just again ask if there are any additional speakers or comments from permit applicant. Okay, we'll send you off to meet with staff and staff to meet with the applicant to see if there is a simple way to fix this. We do understand the desires to move today if at all possible, and may or may not be, so we'll see at some point when you come back, how it looks to us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And the board will take a short recess. Be back at 10:10. I don't know if we're wetty or not. All right. Board will be back in session. We'll go to item 4. I'll read the opening statement. Time and place for a hearing by the California Regional